Are you ready to live a more meaningful and passionate life? Through the principles of heart living, you'll delve into new theories, discover life wisdom, and achieve greater balance. Become inspired. Tune in to Dr. Cynthia Bischoff, international life coach and practitioner who's helped thousands transform their lives. Part of the Dream Vision 7 radio network, Heart Living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff will lead you on a remarkable journey of the heart.
Welcome to the Heart Living Show. I'm Dr. Cynthia Bischoff, your host. You're listening to a live Dream Vision 7 radio network broadcast at 1510 AM WMEX Boston, heard live every first Sunday at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can tune into my show on the Dream Vision 7 radio network every Wednesday at 2 p.m. and 2 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. So to learn more and for a full station broadcast schedule, go to dreamvision7radio.com. Thanks so much for tuning into our show this evening. Our topic is an important one that affects your personal development, your use of your energy, and really the basic quality of your life. And maybe most importantly, it affects your relationship, not only to others, but also to yourself. And that topic is boundaries. And because I believe that there is a sacredness to effective boundaries, our show title this evening is The Sacredness of Healthy Boundaries. So let's get started by looking at what we mean by the term boundaries itself. By definition, a boundary is anything that marks a limit. And you can say that boundaries mark off dividing lines that define where something ends and something else begins. For example, if you look at the purpose of a boundary, it could be to make clear separations between different territories of land, you know, you think about land boundaries, or different territories of responsibility as well. So again, there is the literal and there's also the symbolic term boundaries. But while physical boundaries may define space, psychological boundaries define behavioral limits, which of course in turn protect our personal dignity. So this is why I feel this topic is so very important for each of us to understand. And you've probably heard someone use this phrase before, you just crossed a line with me. Have you not heard that? You know? And this really means that there was a psychological limit that distinguished an inappropriate behavior from, of course, an appropriate one. And you see, an appropriate behavior would not cause emotional harm, whereas an inappropriate behavior could. Okay, so this is important to see the distinction there. So establishing healthy boundaries, then, is very important in order to live a healthy life. And effective boundaries allow us to protect ourselves, to take care of ourselves and our energy, and also to be clear about who we are and what our role is in our relationships. And I add to that also what our responsibilities are and, of course, what our responsibilities are not. So this is a big order to work with boundaries this evening. And really what's most important is to know that we have a right to create and to keep effective boundaries. Or you could say we have a right to protect and defend ourselves through effective boundaries in this way. And, you know, really we not only have a right, but we have an obligation to ourselves because we really need to take responsibility for how we treat others. And, of course, we need to take responsibility for how we allow others to treat us. So it's really not just how we're treating others, it's how we're allowing others to treat us. Because, you see, we need to be able to tell other people when they're acting in ways that are not acceptable to us. So really, learning how to set boundaries is a necessary step in learning to take care of yourself. And as we go through our lives, we realize that setting boundaries allows us to live life more effectively and fully. Okay, so now the next question is, how do we learn to set boundaries in our lives? You know, because it's one thing to say it, and it's another thing to have some kind of practical understanding. And my goal always in our shows is to have some practical understanding. So let's look at this. You know, as an adult, it may not be difficult to start setting boundaries in relationships that do not mean very much to us. and, you know, to say no to someone that we have no meaningful relationship to, you could see where that would not be as difficult. But it is in the relationships that mean the most to us that setting boundaries is usually so difficult. And these difficult situations involve our very important relationships, you know, such as family, intimate relationships, and so on. And in these, our inner child wounds come out. These are the times when, or these relationships are the ones in which our inner child wounds are the most powerful. So my thought was that I'd like to give you a little background on this, and let us look at what can happen in a child's life and how, again, it would affect that child and the setting of boundaries. So as a child, if you think about yourself as a child, you had very little power to set any boundaries at all. Most children, of course, have very little power to set boundaries. And if your parents violated your boundaries, whether this was mentally, physically, spiritually, or emotionally, your sense of what is appropriate for others to do to you may actually be faulty now. And let me work with you a bit about how this works. This is very, very important. So again, I'm going to repeat this. If your parents violated your boundaries, and again, mentally, physically, spiritually, or emotionally, your sense of what is appropriate for others to do to you may be faulty now. So, you know, you may think, for example, it's okay to be treated poorly or to be disregarded, or it's okay for you to overfunction by doing something for someone that they should be doing for themselves. You see, if you could have set boundaries as a child, you might have been afraid to do that. And, you know, what if you were wounded more, or you were even abandoned if you were to speak up for yourself? You were trying to survive as a child. Children are trying to survive. And when they're in a scary situation where they're being treated poorly, disregarded, being abused, being wounded, the fear would be that if I speak up, I may be wounded even more or someone may leave me. Also, if you suffered any kind of abuse, whether it was physical, again, emotional, mental, or spiritual abuse from someone, and whether that was a parent or a sibling, you know, sometimes it could be a sibling or some other role model, a grandparent, and so on, you might have learned at an early age that it's normal and familiar to say yes to a bad experience. And again, I can't stress to you how important it is to understand this. So, you know, again, if this happened to you at an early age, you might have learned that it's normal and familiar to say yes to something that isn't good for you or a bad experience, again, in order to survive. Or what if you said no and to this person, and in response you were chastised or the person withdrew love from you as a result of your saying no? Well, from that situation, you would probably have learned, and this is what we're doing as a child, we're learning constantly. You might have learned that to be loved and accepted, you were always going to have to say yes, and of course say yes to what you want to say no to. So this is very complex, and one of the complexities would be to look at how does guilt play into all of this? So, you know, again, you may have been encouraged to feel guilty as a result of saying no. And if you wanted to avoid feelings of guilt or shame, you know, well, then you'd better say yes, or you're going to feel guilty for saying no. So this is, again, part of the complexity of setting effective boundaries later in life. Or let's say, again, as a child, you might have been terrified of being abandoned if you said no. And without realizing it, you've carried the same behavior into adulthood. And we could even say settling for less than you deserve, or settling, as is said often in archetypal language, settling for less than you're worth. So take, for example, that some children are forced to give up and share their possessions against their will. So when they wanted to say no, they would have actually been taught to say yes. And while sharing can be a healthy behavior, of course, you know, occasionally, or just learning that in general, but not allowing the child to express his or her own feelings can, of course, cause the child to grow into a resentful adult. So there's so, again, many ways in which the child doesn't have power. Now, some clients of mine, and I've been doing coaching for 18 years here in the Tidewater area, but I also do international life coaching. And clients, whether it be this culture here or just in any part of the world that I've worked, clients over time have told me that their parents made comments to them insinuating that they weren't bright enough to make proper or correct choices themselves. And, of course, this would be a way to keep the child bound to the parent. And I know one person in particular told me that his parent caused him to become dependent as a way to control him. And I know that he's not alone. This definitely can happen, allowing the parent, again, to continue to hold control over the child. And, you know, they wouldn't allow the child to make a decision, or he wasn't allowed to make a decision for himself. And as another person told me, she said she feels decision impaired as an adult, and that's the term she used, decision impaired as an adult, because she doesn't trust herself and doesn't trust her own decision-making powers. And this has caused her to create all kinds of poor boundaries through her dependency and relationships. So, you know, if I'm depending upon the abuse and the boundaries violation and so forth, it can certainly cause you continued difficulties in life. So I want to distinguish here the idea, though, of setting effective boundaries from carrying out defenses that we might have learned in childhood, because that's actually not the same thing. So I want to be sure that, you know, we're on an understanding here. So boundaries themselves are very different from psychological defenses. And here's, you know, a better way to explain it to you. Let's say as a child we learn to take care of ourselves by reacting defensively. And most often those defenses are simply reactionary behaviors that we fall into over and over again. And I'll give you an example. Let's say you grew up in a household where there was emotional abuse. And you may have adopted a reactionary pattern of being hypervigilant all the time. So this is really important. If, you know, hypervigilance would be your second-guessing and wondering and not really knowing what's going to happen next. You know, is there going to be another abusive act that might take place? Am I going to be chastised? Am I going to be blamed? Is someone going to get angry with me? And oftentimes, when a person has grown up having to be hypervigilant, I frequently say in workshops when I'm teaching this concept, I will say, what made you feel alive when you were a child? And when I say alive, I don't necessarily mean made you feel good. I just mean, you know, it made you feel like you. And frequently people will tell me that they had to be hypervigilant. Maybe one of the parents was an alcoholic, or one of the parents was emotionally unstable. And so by responding to that level of, they had a level of insecurity, and the hypervigilance was such an important and concrete part of their lives that what has happened to them is that they're still hypervigilant. You know, parents are gone. Parents are no longer there. So if my parents are no longer there and I don't have to continue to be hypervigilant, right, what's going to happen is I may draw things to myself, difficult personalities of other people and so on, so that I continue having to be hypervigilant because that's how I feel alive. So you see, being hypervigilant was a reactionary survival behavior that you would have adopted, but it doesn't have anything to do with setting an effective boundary to take care of yourself. And actually, hypervigilance would just cause you to be on guard and use your energy constantly, almost, as I sometimes say, like running a low-grade fever of fear, feeling anxious or whatever you feel in order to avoid scary or you know, unhealthy circumstances. And often a hypervigilant person doesn't want to make waves, you know, as a peacekeeper. That can certainly be one response, desiring to keep peace at all costs. But again, that has nothing to do with setting a boundary. That's really more about surviving. So I hope that's helpful just to see the difference and get a handle on that. Now, what do healthy boundaries look like? Okay, and how do we set healthy boundaries? So you see, healthy boundaries can be set consciously and can become an effective way to protect yourself from harm, especially from emotional harm. You may have to remind yourself of your new rule of behavior, if you want to call it that, but that new rule of behavior can definitely change your life. I have worked with people in so many avenues of life, at so many ages, and I use what I call the three magic words, which are up until now, because someone will come in and say, well, Cynthia, I've always done, and I look at them, and I go, up until now. Or they'll say, well, I've never received, and I go, up until now. Because, you know, the three words up until now remind you that you are able to change behavior. Let me talk about that for just a moment, too. Each of us has a belief system. What is a belief system? Well, a belief system is those beliefs that you hold to be true. So first of all, you've got to hold it to be true for it to be part of your belief system. Just because someone told it to you, it doesn't become part of your belief system unless, of course, you hold it to be true. Now, you can change your mind by becoming more aware and enlightened and expand your consciousness, your awareness, and have completely new ideas. And if and when you do that, you can change your belief system. And I've worked with people over the years in many capacities who have absolutely changed their belief system. And I just really want to stress to you that at any given time, you can change your life. So if we look at a boundary, here's a boundary that can change your life. A boundary might be not to overfunction for a person who depends upon you to do things that, in fact, they probably could do for themselves. And I'm not talking about someone who's literally dependent upon you, a child or an elderly person who needs your care and that kind of thing. I'm talking about most of us have people that we overfunction for, and especially if we are a rescuer personality type, a caregiver personality type, and so on. But a boundary might be just as simple as not to overfunction for a person who depends upon you to do, again, the kinds of things that they could do for themselves. So when I'm working with clients, I often ask them to answer several questions. And I've jotted them down here, and I want to be sure to let you know what those questions are, because as we go this evening, and even after, if you listen to the archives for this show, you can think about these questions. So here they are. And the first one is, what is your biggest boundary issue right now? Okay, so what is your biggest boundary issue right now? In other words, is there someone or is there something in your life that actually causes you difficulty because you feel unable to protect yourself or to say no to the person or just to stand up for yourself? Okay, those would be some ways to get at that. But what is your biggest boundary issue right now? And is there a person or something in your life that causes you difficulty because you don't feel able to say no to them, to stand up for yourself, or to protect yourself? Okay, that's the first thing. What is your biggest boundary issue right now? The second question that I like to ask is, how does this issue play out in your life? Because you see, it's one thing that we're calling it an issue, but believe me, the issue will be integral to difficulties that you're probably experiencing and having in your life. So how does it play out would mean, how is it affecting you? How does it actually affect the quality of your life? And third question, when you were a child, how were you taught, or what were you taught to believe? And it would be this, you know, when you were a child, were you taught to have effective boundaries, or were you given ways to protect yourself? Were you allowed to protect yourself? And another part of that, I think, is were you encouraged to think highly of yourself? That is so important. Were you encouraged, again, to think highly of yourself? The fourth and final question would be, what would setting effective boundaries actually look like for you now? Okay, so what would setting effective boundaries look like for you now? And along those lines, I usually, you know, say to people, if you had better boundaries in your life, how do you think your life would improve? You know, what would it look like? What would you be doing differently? How might your life improve? The quality of your life, of course. So these four questions you can be thinking about, and certainly long after the show is over, you can reflect on those and see if the material tonight of the content of this show might not be something that you could make an application from, and I'm hoping so because I always want the shows to be practical and helpful to you. Now, before looking at how to set effective boundaries, let's review some reasons why some people have difficulty setting boundaries at all. You know, because understanding the issues and working through them is absolutely going to be a must in learning to set a boundary and to live more effectively. So for starters, I want to use some real-life examples that I've experienced over the years, and I have had clients who told me that they felt that, for example, setting a boundary, especially if they set a boundary with a family member, they felt like they were being rude. Now, were they told they would be rude if they did that? I'm not sure they were ever told that, but they just felt like it was out of line or it was rude. And they were so used to acquiescing to the other person's needs and demands that, again, they felt doing anything out of line or unexpected, doing it was easier just to go ahead and meet their demands and needs than changing things at this point in their lives. So, you know, this is huge because I've got to know that this is important for me to do. I have to know that setting this boundary is not only going to be helpful to me, but I'm in turn really effectively going to help the other person. Because let's face it, we're all here to learn from one another. We are each other's teachers, and we are here likewise to help each other to have a more productive life. So I'm certainly not helping you, nor am I helping myself, if I'm constantly feeling miserable with, you know, with what's going on. We know that that's the truth. Okay. So I'm actually thinking also, I'm going to give some examples shortly that'll help us to look at different people I've worked with, and I have permission from them. And we'll talk about difficulties like if you're an over-functioner or you're not comfortable when other people are not happy. You know, you could be a people pleaser. There are just so many, many ways in which doing that can be difficult to set boundaries or make it hard. So we are going to be taking a break in a moment. It is time for a break. I am Dr. Cynthia Bischoff, your host for the show Heart Living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff, live with Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, 1510 AM WMEX Boston. We'll be back soon for further tips on the sacredness of healthy boundaries. And you can call in during the second half of the show. The local number in Boston, 617-237-1234, or toll-free, 866-338-9663. Thank you so much for tuning in and for listening.
Are you ready to live a more meaningful and passionate life? Through the principles of heart living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff, international life coach and energy medicine practitioner, you'll delve into new theories, discover life wisdom, and achieve greater balance. Become inspired. Connect with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff through her Dream Vision 7 radio show, Heart Living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff. Visit Cynthia's website at heartliving.com and like her Facebook page at facebook.com/heartliving for inspiration and guidance. Cynthia has helped thousands transform their lives. Let her lead you on a remarkable journey of the heart. Take a journey to a place of the divine love within with Deborah Beauvais on the Love by Intuition show every first and third Sunday, 9 to 10 p.m. Our message is love in the purest form. The light within us all is a guide to recall our beginning, to learn to love self and humankind, to feel the higher power of our own divinity. To attract love, one needs to be love. Every first and third Sunday from 9 to 10 p.m., all part of the Dream Vision 7 radio network. Join us on Creating a Spirited Life with Janet Kesenick the third Sunday of every month at 8 p.m. We'll explore the day-to-day moments that puzzle, enlighten, and bring us into deeper connection with our best selves. Find meaning, purpose, and humor while creating a spirited life. This program is part of the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network.
Tune in every first Sunday at 6 p.m. for Maximum Success, the Coach Brew Show. You'll learn success strategies to take your game to the next level from performance consultant John Brubaker. Maximum Success explores why winners win and teaches you the keys to peak performance. This program is part of the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network.
Life. We can either be bystanders or creators. Now is the time to awaken to your divine identity and the power of the I Am within to create a joyous and fulfilled life, no matter what your circumstances are. There are answers to life's big questions, and there is a spiritual path that leads to soul liberation and ascension. Join us every third Sunday of the month at 6 p.m. Eastern Time for Prophets for the New Age with Carl and Nancy Showalter on Dream Vision 7 Radio Network.
Join us every second Sunday at 7 p.m. for Living on Purpose with Carolyn Romano, where we explore the mysteries, meaning, and sometimes madness of life. Let's figure out together the ways we're meant to serve and become the fullest expressions of our most authentic selves. Let's figure out together how to create lives of balance, abundance, and joy. This program is part of the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network.
The goal of the Jesse Lewis Choose Love Foundation is to cultivate a more peaceful world by creating awareness that we can choose love. By providing tools for our children and communities, we can enable them to develop a healthy level of optimism that leads to resilience. Our mission is to give people the understanding that they can choose love by living a life with gratitude, having the ability to forgive, and to be compassionate. This is a proactive effort towards mental health that'll provide children and adults with the perspective and wisdom they need to be able to navigate through life in a happy, fulfilled, and meaningful way. Our website is jessielewischooselove.org.
Welcome back. You're listening to a Dream Vision 7 radio live broadcast here at 1510 AM WMEX Boston. I'm Dr. Cynthia Bischoff, host of Heart Living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff. You can call in during our show by calling our local number, 617-237-1234, or you can call toll-free, 866-338-9663. Thank you. So prior to our break, I mentioned that I've had clients tell me that they had difficulty setting a boundary, of course, especially with a family member, and they had also talked about different reasons for that. So that's what I want to focus on next. I believe sometimes this difficulty occurs because, again, the person is so used to being treated poorly that they don't expect to be treated any better. So I want to give you an example. If you grew up in an environment where being attacked was actually the norm, and I have definitely had clients tell me that, it can be difficult to understand that you deserve something better, or certainly difficult to set a boundary now around what you will allow. And in fact, you may have learned in the abusive environment that you grew up in that you would be harmed less just to go with the flow and not to resist the abuse. And even though experiencing abuse whether it occurred when you were a child or even yesterday, it's really an attack on your personal dignity. But it's so hard to know that because being attacked, again, was probably the norm. So, you know, as hard as it may be to stand up for yourself or to ask for what you need and to define what you will not allow, with commitment and courage, and of course with greater awareness and understanding, you can change the way that you allow yourself to be treated. But it's helpful first to try to understand some of the reasons that we actually have poor boundaries. Now, in addition to reasons that we've already talked about associated with abuse in the childhood, where boundaries, of course, were blurred, and that's another way to put it, another key reason for poor boundaries is dependency. So dependency and, of course, fear. You know, I grew up being taught to be very dependent or simply being dependent to survive, or I have fear, then that is going to blur my association with effective boundaries. So let's take the category of people-pleasing. Many of us are people-pleasers, but people-pleasing would look like this. I have to make sure that others are happy in order to feel okay myself. Or you could say, I have to make sure others are happy in order to feel safe. You know, that's another way to look at it. I don't feel safe if others aren't happy. And this is often a primary cause of people continuing to have poor boundaries. It often stems from feelings of dependency on others' approval, as well as a fear of rejection or abandonment. And there are really different kinds of people pleasers, you know, different types of people pleasers. So the first type, and this is maybe the most common, is a type that I call the overfunctioner. Now, an overfunctioner would be driven to take care of others' needs at the expense of their own, and it's actually comfortable to them. So they'll take care of others' needs at the expense of their own, and they often do too much for others, and they rarely feel comfortable saying no. So, you know, what is the primary reason for their behavior and for this having poor boundaries? It appears, you know, as far as I can tell, that the primary reason is a need for others' approval. Okay, so the need for others' approval. Now, their self-worth is based on whether other people approve of them or they are able to make others happy. And that's another way to look at it. So if I make others happy, if others approve of me, then I know I'm okay. Otherwise, I just don't know if I'm okay. So that's more or less the concept of the overfunctioner. Another type of people pleaser is the person who isn't comfortable when other people are not happy. So just in general, they're not comfortable if another person's not happy. They try to avoid having fearful or uncomfortable feelings in themselves by pleasing others. So I'm going to please you so that I don't have to bear these fearful or uncomfortable feelings. And in fact, they may avoid any uncomfortable situations by pleasing others most of the time. And in this way, it's like they're trying to protect themselves from any situations involving anger or conflict. They'd rather give in or give up, for that matter, what they need in order to avoid any confrontation. Like the confrontation would make them completely uncomfortable. So the problem is that if you avoid difficult emotions or you give up your own needs to avoid difficult emotions, you may never allow yourself to learn how to manage conflict effectively or to deal appropriately with anger, not, you know, others, but even your own. So there's a catchy phrase sometimes used to refer to individuals who would have a strong need to please, and there's a book, I believe, out now with the title, but the term or the phrase is the disease to please, and it's actually seen as a compulsive behavioral pattern. Now, by overpleasing, this person appears to gain a sense of themselves from how much they do for others and how successful they are at pleasing other people. But, of course, the problem is that most of the time, when they are so attentive to the needs of others, they're probably ignoring their own inner needs. And additionally, this behavior usually reflects low self-esteem. So what is most important is that instead of gaining love and protection from helping others, which would be the goal that they believe they're, you know, gaining, the person might experience abandonment and maybe even rejection from others whom they cannot always please. So see what a catch-22 that is. And this happens because, unfortunately, they often end up doing things at the whim of others' emotions and, of course, at others' needs and thoughts. So the less sense you have of your own self or your own self-worth, the more you might be drawn to sacrifice yourself. And in addition to trying to please others, some people just have a need to feel nice or to be considered as being nice all the time. So I guess in a way you would say their identity is formed around this image of niceness and believing that being nice protects them from unpleasant situations with others. So if I'm nice enough, you know, I'm not going to encounter some unpleasant situation. And you know this belief can cause a whole host of problems. For starters, you know, others may manipulate your niceness. So let's say you feel angry and you deserve to be angry. Somebody's done something that's violated you. You deserve to be angry. Your rights were violated or, you know, again, something has happened. Well, you may not feel it's okay to feel or express your real feelings, because if I tell you that I feel angry, then, you know, now you will abandon me. I don't feel like I can be honest with you. And it's important at some point as an adult to redefine and correct your interpretation of the meaning of terms like selfish and nice. Because if you are a people pleaser in this way, you probably associated selfish with just even having a need or having your own needs met. And this will help you express healthier behavior. So what is really at the heart of excessive niceness? Well, usually I'd say it's a deep fear, okay, because we were talking earlier about fears. So it's a deep fear of negative emotions, like I can't be present if something's negative or somebody's angry with me, or just a fear of other people's anger in general, you know, if you're uncomfortable, rather, with people's anger. And the problem is that the more you identify with being nice instead of being who you really are, and it's not to say you aren't a nice person, but like you know, let's say you have some feelings that you just don't feel positive, or it isn't who you feel like being at that moment. In other words, instead of being authentic, the more fear and insecurity you have, the more likely you will try to be nice in order to not experience any other negative feeling. So what's really important to understand, I guess, bottom line, is that most people who try to please everyone or try to be nice all the time rarely feel satisfied with how well they're doing, okay? And that's really amazing to me, is that they really rarely feel satisfied with how well they're doing. Now, on a previous show, I had discussed concepts of body-mind connections, and it is helpful to say, you know, how does the inconsistent and inauthentic behavior of not being who you are or having proper boundaries play out in the body? This is hugely important. In fact, this coming week, I'll be going to Japan where I actually teach body-mind energy medicine. And there we talk so much, as we do here in the United States, about the effect of stuffed emotions on the body. Because when you stuff your emotions, that's been shown to create migraines, tension headaches. It can cause rigidity in certain parts of your body, especially the chest and the back, for sure, and create high blood pressure, among, of course, other ailments. So the whole body, mind, spirit is, of course, interrelated. And if you have difficulty setting effective boundaries, then you would definitely want to look at what underlies the situation, because if you're also not feeling well in your body, there is probably some sort of correlation to what's going on. And it's actually pretty easy to start setting boundaries in relationships that don't mean much to you, as I said before, but in the relationships that mean the most to you, I do understand that will be difficult. And in a moment, we're going to be taking a break. When we come back, we'll talk about that and how, again, you can set effective boundaries. But it is time for a break. I'm Dr. Cynthia Bischoff, your host for Heart Living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff, live with Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, 1510 AM WMEX Boston. We'll be back soon for further tips on the sacredness of healthy boundaries. Thank you for listening.
Join us every first Sunday of the month at 7 p.m. for Heart Living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff, where you'll discover life wisdom and achieve greater spiritual awareness. Through Cynthia's coaching tips, healing stories, and inspirational interviews, you'll improve your relationships, find greater balance, and achieve inner peace today. Join thousands who've transformed their lives through Heart Living. This program is part of the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network.
Invite the Kids for Love Project, an enrichment program, into your school, classroom, or wellness center. Kids for Love Project is focused on teaching kids unconditional love for self and others. The project is a journey into self-discovery. It consists of fun, creative tools to learn self-love, like I choose love, I am love, I stand in love, and utilizing one's energies with reconnective healing and tuning into one's intuition for inner guidance, plus connecting to our natural surroundings. Kids who hold love for self do not bully or harm others. Let's cultivate a kinder world that holds compassion for all. Teaching the power of love to our kids is the way. To learn more or to bring Kids for Love Project to your school, contact Deborah Beauvais, 508-226-1723. That's 508-226-1723. Or go to our Kids for Love Project on Facebook.
Are you ready to live a more meaningful and passionate life? Through the principles of heart living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff, international life coach and energy medicine practitioner, you'll delve into new theories, discover life wisdom, and achieve greater balance. Become inspired. Connect with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff through her Dream Vision 7 radio show, Heart Living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff. Visit Cynthia's website at heartliving.com and like her Facebook page at facebook.com/heartliving for inspiration and guidance. Cynthia has helped thousands transform their lives. Let her lead you on a remarkable journey of the heart.
Join the Mind Health Coach with Leah Marie every fourth Sunday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Come explore with us natural and healthy ways to achieve inner peace, happiness, and an ever-present state of well-being. You're already healed. You just haven't realized it yet. When you're ready, you can change your mind and change your life forever. The power of a beautiful life is within you today. Mind Health Coach with Leah Marie is part of the Dream Vision 7 radio network.
The Dream Vision 7 Radio Network presents Kids for Love. It's a project, a mission, and a radio show. Come join Deborah Beauvais and her young co-hosts every second Sunday at 6 p.m. as we celebrate kids making a difference. We invite other kids to join in for the spirited conversation filled with creative ideas and possibilities to start their own mission. Let's raise the bar together and cultivate a kinder world by getting inspired to help others in need. Kids for Love Project. Celebrating kids that empower others. That's every second Sunday at 6 p.m.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
Welcome back. You're listening to a Dream Vision 7 radio live broadcast here at 1510 AM WMEX Boston. I'm Dr. Cynthia Bischoff, host of Heart Living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff. Our topic this evening is the sacredness of healthy boundaries. So how do we set effective boundaries? Earlier we mentioned that it can be pretty easy to start setting boundaries in relationships that don't mean much to you. You know, it's in the relationships that mean the most to us that it is so difficult. And in very important relationships, again, especially those with family, people we're intimate with, our inner child wounds really are the most powerful. So I do understand, though, that we have a caller now, so I'm going to go ahead and take that call. You can go ahead, please.
Yes. Hi, Dr. Bischoff. This is Lauren.
Hi, Lauren. Thank you so much for calling.
Thank you. I'm calling because I have a child who is quite his own person. He's 15, and I feel it is a constant struggle to handle the ways in which he tends to violate rules that I set up.
Oh, okay. All right. So, start, if you will, by explaining the rules you're talking about. Would you be okay with that so I can get an idea?
Yeah, sure. An example would be the specific time he's expected to come home from friends, okay. What he's allowed to do and not do, that type of thing.
Okay. All right.
Do you have any suggestions on how to set boundaries with him?
Yes, let me see if I can help you, Lauren. That is a tough one because by the age of 15, there's probably a pattern that's been established, which can be very difficult to change things, but yet they can be changed. So, you know, I'm not trying to discourage you, and I certainly want to help you. So, yeah, they can be changed.
Okay, well, that's good to know. I'm open to any ideas you have.
Okay, all right. Well, for starters, it will be very important to pay attention to your tone of voice and the firmness or, let's say, the lack of firmness with which you set the rules and convey the rules to him. And you'd also want to look at consequences for breaking the rules because, you see, if you set a rule but there really is no consequence or you don't enforce it, then it's probably not going to mean a whole lot. Do you have consequences?
Yes, but they're hard to enforce.
Okay. Do you have an example? Are you able to give me an example so I can get an idea?
Yeah, okay. Well, I'll say that I will take away a privilege, but sometimes it affects me more than it affects him. For example, he can't drive himself to school, then I have to take him.
Right, right. I know what you mean. So, and others have told me the same kind of thing. So, you know, it will be important to set up consequences that don't bother you more than they actually bother him, and also ones that you would definitely be able to enforce. So, just for some quick sort of help, you know, pay attention again to the level of firmness. You want to set consequences that should matter to him. You see, they've got to matter to him. And then you absolutely have to stick with those consequences no matter what. Because as we know, it's not what you say. If you say one thing and you do not enforce it, then your word, you know, is no good. And it's not going to matter to him. So you must, whatever you say you're willing to do or going to do, you have to be willing to go through with it. And this is such an important age for him to be monitored in regard to choices he's making, things he's doing. So just be sure to remain strong yourself as his parent. Trust your own self. Trust the authority that you actually do have. And, again, be willing to enforce that. Because it is also true that children really need to know who's in charge. They actually push boundaries so that they can have a sense of where they end and the parent begins. But anyway, Lauren, I hope that helps. And, you know, I'm hoping that you can use some of those ideas to help you in your situation with your son.
Thank you so much. I'll definitely give it a try.
Okay. Thank you so much for calling in. Take care now.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Okay. So what a good question from Lauren about her son. And I think certainly many of us could relate to the idea that sometimes you are more affected by the boundary that you set than the other person, child or otherwise, is. So let's kind of go back to how to set these effective boundaries. Let's see. We left off on this idea that an important relationship is hard. Well, how perfect that Lauren would call, because obviously this is with her son, and our own inner child wounds, I mentioned, can be powerful. So remember we said that as a child you had very little power to set any boundaries. Now, if your parents violated your boundaries in any way, mentally, again, physically, emotionally, spiritually, your sense of what's appropriate for others to do to you, again, may be off. And if you could have said no as a child or set healthy boundaries in expressing yourself, you may have feared that you would have been wounded more or abandoned more. And again, it would be familiar to say yes to a bad experience. So it's really a key point in setting effective boundaries is to understand that tolerating other people's inappropriate behavior may not feel so bad, you know, may not feel so bad as an adult, especially if you suffered a withdrawal of love if you ever did say no. So, you know, what did happen to you as a child? You know, did you learn to say yes to allowing others to take what belonged to you or take advantage of you? Because honestly, the little child within us, even though we are adults now, often I have worked with so many clients who tell me they just don't feel worthy. Or in some cases, recently I had a client who told me she just felt shameful, you know, to ask for what she needed. And honestly terrified of setting boundaries for fear that she would be left. So to understand life, you begin to realize that the most important person's approval that you really need is going to be your own. And you cannot live up to another's desires or expectations, particularly if that is inconsistent with what you know to be true for you. So there is another issue I want to mention briefly, and that is, of course, communication and boundaries, which is a little bit what we heard from Lauren. To have a healthier relationship with yourself and others, you do need to set healthy boundaries and engage in emotional honesty and responsibility, and that has to be at the core of your communication. It is important to become aware of what it looks like to have healthy behavior. You know, what is an acceptable interaction dynamic, you know, what would that look like? And then you can practice it with other people and expect better behavior from not only yourself, of course, but others. When you're emotionally honest with yourself, you'll allow yourself to feel your own feelings and to communicate in a direct and honest way. And then healthy relationships are more possible. So it is impossible, really, to have a healthy relationship with someone who cannot communicate directly and honestly. So, you know, what you can do for starters is state your feelings out loud. You can begin with an I feel statement. So by stating the feeling out loud, you're affirming that you have a right to feelings. And a simple formula, and I actually taught in the MBA program at the local university. I taught communications, and we talked about an I statement, and it goes something like this. When this happens, or when something occurs, I feel so-and-so, whatever you feel. For example, you could say, if somebody's getting angry with you, you know, when your face gets red, your voice gets louder, I feel frightened. And that is just an example. But the idea is that you say, when this happens, I feel this. It's so important to be able to speak that specifically and descriptively, because describing behavior to a person is an important step towards making it possible for the other people to get past their own toxic shame so that you can start seeing a boundary between their behavior and you. And even though we're powerless over whether they get it or, whether they even understand what we're doing, in learning to communicate in a healthy way without blame and shame, we are maximizing effective communication. You know, ultimately, we're empowering ourselves in that way. And whether the other person can hear us, understand us, honestly, is not as important as the fact that we're hearing ourselves and we're understanding that we have a right to say no. We have a right to our own feelings. So it's vitally important to really own your own voice, to know that you have a right to speak up and to communicate without any blaming. So, you know, again, it's okay. And you want to use simple, direct language whenever you can. So, you know, again, boundaries are important to set. Clear language is important to use. And some boundaries actually have to be rigid, like, it's not okay to hit a child ever, or it's not acceptable to cheat on me. Because no one, including yourself, ever deserves to be treated abusively, or to be lied to, or to be betrayed, you know. And it can be very important to set consequences that you're willing to enforce. And as I said to Lauren, are you willing to enforce it? You know, are you willing to leave? Are you willing to quit if something happens again? If it's true that you are, then state it. But if you're setting boundaries in a relationship and you're not yet at a point where you would be ready to carry out the consequence, then don't say it. So, you know, like, what if you say you're going to leave a relationship if something happens again, but then you're not really ready to leave? Well, then don't say that. And it's not an attempt to control the other person, but it's a part of the process of defining yourself and being clear about what's acceptable to you. So, you know, bottom line is take good care of yourself and be very clear. Setting limits and honoring your boundaries is truly the most healing behavior that you can have, that you can present to yourself and to others. So as we begin to bring our show to a close this evening, I thank you so much for listening, for sharing your hearts with me in this hour. I hope that you will check out my website, heartliving.com, and subscribe there for detailed information. There is a weekly blog that goes out. And if you do have any questions, don't hesitate to contact me through email at my website or just through my Facebook page, which is, by the way, www.facebook.com/heartliving. It is not listed under my name, Cynthia Bischoff, but rather under the title of Heart Living. I do have a wonderful seminar coming to Virginia Beach at a beautiful resort hotel on April 23rd, and it's called Ignite Your Life. It's a one-day seminar, so if you want to get away, you want to learn how to ignite your life, and you have the opportunity to do so. The seminar is being held April 23rd, 9 to 5, and there is information at my website, heartliving.com. There's an early bird discount of $15 off, so this is before March 15th, so I would love to have you join me there. Thank you so much for listening to our show today.
Thank you for tuning in to Heart Living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff. Join us the first Sunday evening of every month at 7 p.m. to explore ways to live a more inspired and passionate life. Gain clarity, balance, and purpose as Cynthia guides you on an enlightening journey of personal transformation. For more information, find Cynthia at her website, heartliving.com, or on Facebook, facebook.com/heartliving.